The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
This episode of the Podcast of Terror is brought to you by our friends at Statosphere Merch. Use our coupon code TERROR for 15% off your order at statospheremerch.com.
Hello and welcome to... Sorry, I got pubic hair in my throat. Welcome to the Podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I am your host, Matt Stein. With me, as always, is Corey. He doesn't want me to call him Big Daddy Spork, but I'm going to do it anyways. Scott, Corey, how are you?
It sounds like the yoga's working out for you. That's nice.
Well, you know, I have always wanted to put my own genitals in my mouth, and I've done it.
It's nice to taste the memories.
I'm the Deepak Chopra of dick sucking. Right off the rails real quick. For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, subscription links, go to gncast.com/pot. For other shows from Galactic Netcast, go to gncast.com. You may have heard some other sensual baritone voices in the background. We are lucky enough to be joined by Nate and Brandon from the Inked Geek Studios. How are you guys?
Hey.
Hello. Good. Doing good, thanks.
I like you to stretch like, we're so fucking cool.
We just sat for an hour and 45 minutes watching Deathgasm.
Yeah, so. Thanks for picking a movie that didn't suck.
Yeah, that was
awesome. Been wanting to watch this movie for so long, and when we discussed that you were going to be on and you couldn't think of anything, I'm like, I think this works.
It does, indeed, and I'm thrilled with it. It's funny because, well, I guess we'll probably talk about it later, but...
For like 10 minutes, we'll talk about it, yeah, probably.
I was telling my wife, I'm like, this movie is great, we should watch it, but all I can think of is like, so there's, you know, it's total cartoonish blood and guts and stuff.
Well, what it is it's a total Raimi homage. It's Pee-wee, Flight of the Conchords, meddled out with Evil Dead mixed in.
And a bunch of dicks.
So many dicks.
There was a lot of dicks in this movie.
I was so happy when he took that guy out and gagged him. I'm like, when is he going to gag him? What's your question, Nate?
I'm trying to figure out how to get to the...
How to get to the dicks?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to get to the fucking... dicks. I need to get to the dicks.
Dicks are hard to get to sometimes.
I need dicks. Literally. More dicks.
Sometimes it's hard to get to a hard dick.
I was fucking...
Depends on the night.
So we're recording this on Easter Sunday night. So I watched it this morning before we went to my parents for Easter. And there's the part where he pulls out the double dildo, and I'm like yelling at my wife, yeah, I'm just beating the shit out of someone with a big rubber dick. Yeah, that's a good way to start Easter.
I'm like, hey, it's the Grand Theft Auto scene.
Nothing like bludgeoning someone with a flaccid penis.
That pretty much is my entire sex life.
Wow.
Well played, sir. Well played.
You're not alone.
That is not what she says.
No, not at all. I hear a lot of, is it in yet? Are you done? And then I cry.
Are you starting?
Are we there yet? If you've never listened to the podcast, it's here. We spoil the shit out of everything, and I swear a lot.
Yeah.
Talk about dicks, too.
So many dicks is actually swear? The... subtitle for the show, actually.
Podcast of Dare, dicks. Just dicks. In parentheses,
last week
dicks.
It was sweaty, so it's good that
this
we're
week
on a
it's
theme.
Dicks.
We're traveling down this Mad Libs highway.
Sweaty dicks everywhere.
Sweaty dick-filled dick. Oh, God. This is going nowhere good fast.
To give props to Nineball from West March Workshop, what a dick.
Pretty much. The word dick is great, but... I digress. We should probably not talk about dicks. We should probably talk about what you guys do with your dicks.
A whole lot of nothing. Well, I do have a third kid on the way, so...
Well, you did something once or twice, then.
Is that a kid like yours, or one that you've ordered?
I ordered a kid somewhere from China.
I ordered it through wifesvagina.com.
Amazon vagina?
It's a nine-month delivery. They suck.
That's what Amazon needs to work on, is they need to work on two-day air pregnancies.
It's a lot of delays. Hopefully it doesn't get delivered to the wrong address.
A lot of misfires. Yeah. It's good to know that flaccid thing worked and something dribbled out.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, I work for the Postal Service, so at least there's one organization that we're faster than, right?
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. That was...
Wait, so what do we do? What do we do with our dicks?
No, I really meant to say
what you do with yours. I've heard
you
stories.
You know what I do with mine.
Yeah.
just doing some dick swinging over there, Brandon?
I spend my weekends in Nate's basement, so I think that says all it needs to, doesn't it?
Yeah, swinging dick in his basement, attaboy. I'm a big proponent of swinging dick, by the way.
It wasn't a finished basement until he was done.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Wow.
After the basement was finished, we had to clean up.
Just roll up the tarps. Oh,
is this
God.
Just going to be like 45 minutes of dick references?
I hope. Yeah, probably. We do some marathon episodes once. I'm not drinking today, but if I was, that's when things get out of hand. Get a couple bottles of beer in me, and then I just don't want to shut up.
Well, I suppose it's better than a couple dicks in you.
A couple dicks in me. You know what would lighten the mood? A dick in your mouth. Sorry. So thank Geek Studios. What do you guys do before we start talking about dicks again?
We podcast
about dicks.
Significantly less dick content.
95% less dicks.
This is personal.
No, so Inked Geek is a studio that I founded back in June of 2014 with two friends of mine, and we had one show called the Geek Access Podcast, which is coming up on episode 50. It's very casual, very relaxed, hence why it's been a year and a half and we only have episode 50.
Full of dicks.
Yeah, full of dicks. And then in the past couple of months, got in touch with Brandon, and we've added 5 other shows to the network. We brought in a friend of the Frog Pants Network, Scott Johnson's social circle over there, Abby Wessels, who does her Diary of a Trans Woman that is published and produced by my network. And as far as the shows we've added, we got That Was Awesome, which is a wrestling podcast. We have Mind of a Geek, which is an interview-style podcast. We have our newest show. Well, I guess I'll let you talk about the other two because they're kind of your babies. So
we have Sonics and Sabres, which is a Star Wars Doctor Who mashup, which we skipped this week.
Good.
Go ahead.
Wait to guest on that show.
Good. Yeah, we don't talk about Doctor Who on this episode. If you talk about Doctor Who, I will climb through the internet and fucking kill you.
He'll feed you his dick.
No, yeah. Doctor Who for you then.
Yeah, I don't want any Doctor Who.
So there's that, and then the other one, we just started episode 0 last Saturday?
Oh, no, Tuesday.
Was it the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically like, you know, open forum, roundtable discussion about anything that pisses you off. Taboo subjects are not steered away from on that one.
What's the title of that one?
Sincast?
Sincast.
S-I-N-Cast.
Yeah, and it's...
So if you want to talk about dicks, by all means.
Come on, Sincast. Yeah,
I can talk about dicks here.
It's acronymistic for
subconscious intellect.
Yeah, subconscious intellect. And when I describe it to people that have asked about it, I simply say it's like all the angry, hateful, annoying shit that builds up in the back of your head, but you don't like to talk about all the time if you don't want to be a negative person. This is the round table open discussion for you to get all that shit out for the rest of the world to hear.
And how does someone become a guest on that
show? Yeah, right.
You just let us know. and all of our shows feature our voicemail hotline, where whenever we're not live, you can call and leave a voicemail for any show you want about whatever you want. And then that same line also is live call-ins when we are live. So cool little listener interactions there.
That sounds fantastic.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome. For anyone that listens to the other things that Galactic Netcast does, Nate and I were actually on Sci-Fi Geeks Club. What was that? Brandon, you were there too. I forgot about you. You're kind of quiet sometimes.
I'm very forgettable.
Well, it's that fucking beard. How can I forget that beard?
I gotta stand out somehow, man.
That's true. I don't even know how long ago that was. A couple months.
About 2 weeks
long
ago.
Long enough ago that I totally forgot about it.
See? That was a lot of beers ago, as the kids would say. But yeah, so we're here to talk about horror things. Scary things. We're going to do some news real quick, and then we'll talk about Deathgasm, like Nate mentioned, which was a fucking tits, dick-filled fest of blood, I guess you could call it.
I'm upset that there were more dicks than tits.
There was an...
Like, I'm happy we got to see her tits, but I was disappointed that it was in, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, and then we didn't get to see them again.
Very true. There was tits at the end of the movie, which actually took me by surprise because I was so used to seeing dicks.
Yeah, but they weren't
dicks.
Hers.
No.
More of hers.
That's true. That chick was
the 30-year-old teenager.
But now I need to go watch Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in that movie was in fucking Power Rangers at one point.
Were they really?
Yeah,
Brody? Brody?
Yeah, Brody was.
Brody was, the chick was. They were both Power Rangers stars.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of the people does voiceovers for Power Rangers. I think it was the lady who was part of the
yeah, the chick from the coven type.
Right. The one who was blowing the guy underneath the desk.
The one that gutted him, yeah.
She was gagging on Mighty Morphin. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I love that night scene. It's like, who doesn't have a gag reflex now?
Let's fucking fly through this news so we can talk about dicks again.
Yeah.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space might return as a TV show. I think that's it.
That really. Yeah, I mean, they're really talking. They're calling it a requel, which means that they are talking about doing the show as kind of a redo of the original, but also a sequel to the original. So they're kind of telling the story of introducing the clowns, but having the past of the original story. And they've also called it a 4-part trilogy.
I think it's going to flop. If it happens, it'll flop horribly. I hate saying it, but I just don't think it's going to do very well. Killer Clowns from Outer Space was never like this. It's like it's got a cult following. That's about it. But it was never huge
it'll
thing.
It'll have half a season be canceled and then be a cult hit.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we got to kind of consider where it's going to land, because they're not talking about putting this on regular TV. They're talking about putting it on a cable station. And if it gets to be the hyped up thing like the Ash versus Evil Dead was, then there's potential there.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair to compare Killer Clowns to Evil Dead.
No, not
at all. I think with Evil Dead, enough time went by. Like, it took that long for that much hype to build up.
So. Right.
Yeah, Killer Clowns was a long time ago, though. I mean,
that's what I mean. Like, that show might have a chance in that area just because it's been so far removed.
Right.
You've got a couple generations now of people to be fans.
And people are still afraid of clowns, so.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Oh, I'm totally afraid of clowns, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't like fucking clowns, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, the next Eli Roth movie is called Clown. We watched a clown movie on here for review.
What was that one?
Oh, it was Clown?
It was Eli Roth's Clown.
Why am I seeing that's still coming out?
Is that movie post-Green Inferno?
It was made pre. It'll come out post.
Yeah, okay. Now I understand.
So I thought that he had taken like a 10-year break from directing. So
yeah, you should take a 10-year break from sucking dick.
No.
Dicks.
No, I think that if you're really good at something and it's what you love.
Jesus Christ.
If you're really good at sucking dick,
yeah.
It's what you love. no judgment here.
Wow.
So are you not a proponent of Eli Roth?
Yeah, I've not found something by Eli Roth that I've really liked yet.
Yeah,
I can't pick
I totally agree with you on that.
What's a movie that he's done?
Cabin in the Woods, Green Inferno.
Green Inferno wasn't bad, but I liked it when it first came out, and it was called Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah. Right.
And see, I don't...
But why watch that when you can just watch Cannibal Ferox or something like that?
Cabin in the Woods was the one with like the big twist at the end, right? Where it was like all this big.
It was a TV show.
No, Cabin in the Woods was Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard, I think.
Oh, you're thinking
I always get
Fever.
That title wrong.
Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
Which they're remaking the first one already.
No, Cabin Fever was the one that was just like a ridiculous bloodbath, right?
Yeah, those were Sean Hunter got sick and threw up everywhere.
Yeah, we just watched the fourth one the other day. And it is equally bad, but there's some charms to it, at least in the fact that you go into it knowing it's horrible. He also did the Hostel films.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is those, at least the first one.
Either way, though, all of those I could take a pass on.
That's very true. And there's nothing he's done that you really need to watch, which I feel is, fuck him. The other news we have is. There's a Hannibal complete series auction.
And I wish I was rich because I would buy it all. I loved that show and I'm so pissed it was canceled.
What the fuck are you going to do with his weird suits and knives?
What I want is the knives.
Yeah, the knives.
I'll put them in like a shadow box and hang them on my wall.
I mostly just want to see if there's like a recipe book.
That would be cool, the recipe book.
God damn, you guys are fucking weird.
Hannibal Lecter, man. He was my idol growing up as a child. It's like...
And it was a really solid series, especially for being on NBC of all places where it's like, how is NBC going to get away with doing the show? And it was so gorgeous for being so gory.
It was.
I've heard it described as it's basically a horror movie for foodies, and that's what it was. It was just impeccable.
It's murder porn.
Yeah.
Horror movie for foodies is a great explanation of that.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. I was wishing, or I was hoping that Netflix or Hulu or someone would pick it up, because I was a huge fan of the original Silence of the Lambs movies. Even like Hannibal, the one that sucked, like I still liked it. And Anthony Hopkins blew that character out of the water. And when I first heard about this, I'm like, all right, this is going to be dumb because nobody is going to pull off Lecter like Hopkins did. And Hopkins is too old. So, and then when I heard it was Mads Mikkelsen from, 007 fame.
Right.
I was like, all right, I can see that. Let's see how it goes. And then I was just blown away.
Yeah, I mean, it was big shoes for him to fill, and I think he did an incredibly admirable job in it. Also, Hugh Dancy playing Will Graham. Will Graham had been played by the guy from CSI in the original Manhunter movie, and then played by Edward Norton in the remake of Red Dragon. And Dancy did a fantastic job with his character as well. It was just all around, it was a really solid show. We got to see some other great actors and actresses be on it. And I just feel like if it hadn't been kind of pigeonholed to being NBC Friday nights, it would have done really well. I'm surprised at some of the other horror shows that have stuck around, but they're on lesser stations that don't worry as much about what their numbers are. But NBC kind of had something to prove. And I think they showed us that we should be able to have faith in them for when they really will let a writer and director go and make a show like this. But they also showed that if we don't watch, we don't deserve it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, and I think me and Brandon have talked with somebody about this on one of our podcasts with the whole, like, the Nielsen rating system and stuff like that. And that's what sucks about modern stuff is that I don't watch television. I don't have cable. Like, with Hannibal, like, I bought the seasons on iTunes. So, I mean, obviously they're probably still seeing purchase numbers, but, like, your numbers are going to be smaller because of streaming things like, you know, Hulu usually does next-day streaming with certain networks and things like that. And I wish they would take that more into account because the majority of the type of people that are going to watch a television show like that are not watching it on cable.
Right.
They're streaming it.
Yeah.
So,
and it would have been so nice to just see Netflix throw money at them and say, yeah, do your show.
Right.
People pick up on it when it's done and we'll get the viewership, but it doesn't matter. Just here's your cash. Go make what you're going to make. What they've been doing with their shows has been so impeccable. And I would love to see, because the guy who made the show did a lot of stuff before that. He did the one with the pie maker that brought people back from life.
Right. I know what you're talking about. I love
that show.
I think any chance of it coming back is gone because Bryan Singer, right?
No, this wasn't Singer. This was,
For Hannibal, I thought it was Singer.
Singer might have been producer on it.
Oh, okay. I gotta say, he's doing Star Trek now. So any hopes of Hannibal coming back are gone because he's on Star Trek now, the new Star Trek thing. So it sucks, but oh well. But yeah, that auction, some of those things look awesome, but it's so damn expensive.
It was Brian Fuller.
Fuller, that's what it was. Singer, Fuller, whatever. Brian, I had the first name right. That's the important thing.
You were really close, and I couldn't think of it. So
I don't even know who Brian Singer is. For some reason, it just sounded right.
X-Men. The X-Men movies. And
is it?
People.
Okay.
He likes Dick, remember?
Oh, yeah, that guy. I thought that wasn't confirmed. I thought that was accusation.
No, it's confirmed that
he likes to take young boys and have parties.
It was basically confirmed that he does not, like, do underhanded things to get it is the case.
Oh, okay. He likes it. He just doesn't like, he gets it legally.
He likes it, but he's going to be straight up with you about it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Which is the way to go.
Straight up to attention.
Wow.
Aren't you glad you invited us here?
I was just going to say that.
Super glad.
Happy to have
him. Yeah, always. I'm always happy to have you guys.
Welcome to Dick Cat.
All right. Don't give us that PR bullshit. You've never had us here before. How do you know you're always happy to have us?
Because I'm really good at lying to people.
Because he takes a letter of hypnol.
It's like when you're at a concert and they're like, this is the best audience ever. It's like, fuck off. You say that every night.
Or at least the people at the concert have some enthusiasm.
It's like, don't treat me like a John.
This dude's like, oh, it's so great to have you.
Don't moan just because I'm paying. If I'm not any good, tell me.
At least
change the name of the song from Detroit to Houston, fucking Journey, you assholes.
Although, I will give credit. no connection at all here, but when I went, actually, Brandon, there's connection. You were at that concert with me.
Oh, great.
When we went to go to the Summer Sanitarium at Foxborough in Massachusetts, Limp Bizkit was there, and Fred Durst wore a Red Sox hat as opposed to a Yankees hat.
Huh.
So I will give him credit for that.
That is not a detail that I would remember.
I would, because
fuck the Yankees.
I did spend an uncomfortable amount of money on Metallica tickets to see him at the new Viking Stadium in August.
The new Viking Stadium?
Yeah, because I...
They spent an uncomfortable amount of money on a new stadium.
Yeah, the U.S. Bank Field, so there's Metallica, Avenged Sevenfold, and Volbeat are the first concert there.
Oh, wow. I'm so jealous. I mean,
yeah, that's a great lineup.
Yeah, man. Volbeat's incredible. A7X is like my favorite band. Don't get me started there.
Well, like Metallica and A7X, they're the two premier metal bands at this point.
Yeah. Right.
For commercial profit, I guess.
And their most recent release, Hail to the King, was basically their Black album.
Yeah.
Considering it sounded just like the Black album.
Yeah, and that was my contention with that band when they first came out, was the way he sang was very Hetfield.
Right.
And that bothered me to no fucking end.
But they're growing.
Yeah, they do. They're catchy.
I really liked Avenged Sevenfold before he stopped screaming. So the first two albums, then after that I gave up.
See, I don't like Sounding the Seventh Trumpet. I've tried, and ironically enough, the only song off Sounding I like is Warmness on the Soul, which is their ballad.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favorite is City of Evil. Like, Backcountry, MIA, Seize the Day.
If the dude didn't sing, and I know you and I are going to come at odds, but if he didn't sing, I would like him a lot more, because they're all phenomenal musicians. But like I said, I was a fan of theirs, and then he blew his voice and had to stop screaming, and that's kind of where I lost it. I respect them; they're phenomenal musicians, and it's just not my thing. I listen to angrier music. And
so on the topic of angrier music, Amon Amarth, the new album that came out a couple days ago.
I can't get into that either.
Fan.
The whole like theatric Viking metal type shit is lost on me.
I'll tell you that I agreed with you until a couple months ago, and it just, I don't know what happened. Something clicked, and I'm so into it now. Before that, I never could stand it.
So I absolutely despise Cradle of Filth, and
I can agree with you on that.
I gotta hear me out. You've never listened to our show before, have you? Like the recording, not a YouTube video.
Earlier, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's 48 different fucking podcasts they listen.
No,
to.
Absolutely, and I don't fucking care. I was gonna reference. there's a buddy of mine plays drums for the band of the intro music, the intro and outro music we use, and he talked me into listening to one Cradle of Filth album because he's a huge Cradle of Filth fan, and I gotta look it up right now. But it's actually not bad. That fucking pissed me off.
The only thing they do that I like is the Satanic Mantra, and that's not even a fucking song.
Godspeed on the Devil's Thunder is actually not a bad album. He sings a little different, so it's less obnoxious.
Godspeed on the Devil's Thunder?
Yep.
Okay.
So I guess, talking about your love of Satan, we should probably get into this movie that was pretty much 100% about Satan.
Oh, I just want a
fucking segue.
It wasn't about Satan. It was about the King of Demons.
There were so many awesome like band references, like fucking Zach at the end, that death shirt, he's wearing a death spiritual healing shirt. I have that shirt. I was excited when I saw that. You guys, neither of you probably listen to death, do you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's
the like all black metal band, right?
No, death is an all black punk band, but the death he was wearing was like old school death metal band. Their singer died of cancer, so they're like the death metal band.
Oh, okay.
They're pretty good. I would listen to Spiritual Healing if you got some time to kill.
I definitely do. I'll check it out.
Do you know offhand what that final song was, the one that played during the credits?
No, remember? Not a clue.
Because I was going to bring that up too. That last song sounded so out of place compared to the rest of the music that was referenced in this movie.
Right, but I really liked that song.
Yeah, it sounded straight up like an 80s anthem song that plays at the end of like an 80s metal horror movie.
Right.
And this is going to get a lot of comparisons, I think, to Trick or Treat, which was the 80s horror film we reviewed earlier.
So, funny story, Corey and I were talking before. Have you guys seen Trick or Treat? Trick or Treat, not Trick or Treat.
I know the movie, but I haven't seen it.
So
I've seen one of them. I forget which one it is, and it's been a while.
Trick or Treat had Gene Simmons.
Had Skippy from Family Ties was the main character playing a little metal kid. Had Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne doing cameos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen that one.
Yeah, so there's a scene where the mom is flipping through a bunch of records, and she pulls out this Impaler record, and I can't think of the name of the album. But long story short, I ended up making friends with the guy who plays guitar in Impaler, and they played in Green Bay last night, which is like a half an hour. So I went and saw Impaler, who were like big in the 80s, playing arenas and shit, play for like 20 people in Green Bay. And they fucking... Nice. They acted like it was a sold-out arena. It was phenomenal. Super nice dudes, too. Talked a lot of horror movies with all those guys. So we actually had Kyle on, the guitar player, when we did Trick or Treat. So.
Kyle's a super great guy.
Yeah, super nice.
The fact that all that stuff in America has kind of gone by the wayside, so when these bands that used to be iconic do play, and they play with enthusiasm, it's great that the people that are still fans actually... It's accessible for them now.
Yeah, for sure. I can't say that I'm a fan of their music. It's just not my style. But, dude, I'll fucking go and watch any one of my friends play, no matter where they're playing, to go see my buddies. But the fact that those guys, they're so entertaining to watch and shit, it was a good time. So I don't even know. Going back to the last song, I don't know. I'm looking at the soundtrack, and it's much shit I've never heard of.
Away by the time the credits rolled, is this song like "Man Behind the Mask" kind of shit or what? I didn't.
It's pretty far from the death metal that's featured in the rest of the film.
Okay.
It sounds like a Dokkenized kind of song that you'd hear over the end credits of like Nightmare on Elm Street 6. It's just so standard compared to everything else that's referenced and played in this movie, that it feels like it's a joke. It's so out of place. But at the same time, it doesn't matter because the rest of the film is so fucking great.
Right.
Right.
Outside of all the dicks, I mean, like I said, like I said, man.
Sound like a bad thing. Come on.
I was really pumped to see this movie because, I mean, Corey, how many times have I been like, dude, we should watch Deathgasm?
I know it's been in the queue for a long. I think since we started.
There you go.
It's been in the queue.
That's got a chick singer. Sorry, I just started playing the song. I'm like, fuck it, let's do it. But yeah, Deathgasm's been in the queue for a very long time. I don't even remember at what point I first heard about it, but the fact of like, I love metal and I love horror movies, and you put the two together, that's like a grilled cheese sandwich of life.
I don't know. It's funny because I was watching it, though. And, I mean, I guess it's, like, I guess depending on what your definition of horror is, but, like, it certainly wasn't scary at all.
Oh, it wasn't scary at all, but
This movie reminded me of Shaun of the Dead. It reminded me, obviously, thematically of Trick or Treat, but it also reminded me of Zombieland.
Yeah. It's horror parody.
Detroit Rock City with zombies, man.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, regardless of the release date, I went to Bull Moose, which locally is our premier record store, and it's in the horror section. This movie is prominently displayed. It has its own display.
Really?
So, I mean, it's obviously got a following here.
Yeah. Well, it's also a music store, so that kind of makes sense there, too.
Right.
And I was
and that was this morning.
I was surprised.
I did that.
I was surprised to see it was still $20, brand new.
Yeah.
But.
Wow. I was surprised when you said that you paid to watch, like, through iTunes. That you prefer to watch them.
I do everything through iTunes. It's nice, because I can just pull stuff up on my phone.
That's true.
I can watch it mobily.
I prefer to sit on my couch, you know what I mean? But it's whatever you prefer.
Yeah, see, I like to do everything in the comfort of my studio.
Yeah, we definitely have a self-contained little bubble here. So.
Yeah, like everything is here. TV, music, movies, all my video games, everything is here.
Two giant oversized computer chairs, which I've been sitting in for 4 fucking hours at this point.
Got the nice swamp ass going.
Yeah, dude. Dicks, definitely.
Swamp dick.
Swamp dick.
Well, I mean, the swamp ass is just a delivery point for the swamp dick.
Right, it seeps to the end of the dick and
Jesus
off.
Jesus,
I believe that was a DC superhero of the 80s that Alan Moore worked on.
Dick drip.
Man thing.
Wow. Have we even described what the movie's about? Metal zombies is a dick. The storyline is these two teenage boys accidentally summon an ancient evil known as the Blind One by delving into black magic while trying to escape their mundane lives. That's a shitty description.
It is.
This kid moves in with his uncle. His uncle is a dildo. His cousin's a dildo. Everyone hates him. He finds another
dude. Ironically, they have a bunch of dildos.
I did not even do that on purpose, but yeah, there's a lot of dildos that they find. So he finds another guy who kind of has the same interests, and then they start... and then there's the two wieners that he plays D&D with.
Yeah, he starts out having friends who are kind of the nerdy guys, and then he goes from hanging out with them to, in the record store, meeting up with this other guy, Zach, that is an actual metal dude, and they have a lot in common. But Zach is that friend who is, like, he's a cool guy and everything, but he's also a big fucking asshole, and you're more his friend than he's your friend.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fucks with you a little bit.
Yeah, because Zach cockblocks Brody with Medina, who I would block her vagina with my dick, 2 times.
You mean the Red Samurai Ranger?
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't care about her Power Ranger past. I had Power Ranger through her butthole.
Oh, but you totally see the Power Ranger past in that final fight scene.
Hey, man, Mighty Morphin Vagina?
Come Mighty on. Morphin Vagina Rangers. There's actually on...
That's the title of the episode, Mighty Morphin Vagina Rangers.
Mate, two things real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, did you hear me fall up the stairs?
I did. That was hilarious. Yeah, and see his bottle opener? There you go.
Two for me, one for you.
All right.
You don't need much.
No, I don't think so.
Good. Speaking of the Power Ranger thing, three of the people were in Power Rangers. One was in Power Rangers RPM. The other two were in the next season, which was Power Rangers Samurai. Also, if you apparently play the movie, Deathgasm muted, and Iron Maiden's Live After Death simultaneously syncs up perfectly due to precise editing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The filmmakers have yet to comment, but it's apparently...
So it's Metalhead, Wizard of Oz, and Dark Side of the Moon.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah, God, we're so fucking bad at doing things on this show.
You should have actually said in the chat.
I was just reading.
I love how these guys have a passion for cock like you two do.
Oh, man.
So Ashley in the chat is one of our regular listeners.
And she's got our fucking number for sure.
So she's into swinging dicks? Because I'll swing a dick
more
or
than
two.
You fucking know, man.
I'll swing a dick, Ashley. fuck, can we not talk about dicks for like 45 seconds?
They just come shooting out your mouth, though, man.
Don't be a dick.
Oh, damn. Damn. I see what you did there.
All right, so Brody and Zach and their friends, Giles and Dion, they form a band, which is weird because...
Called Death
Metal. Was anybody else kind of confused by the death metal keyboardist?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Is that normally
seriously.
A thing?
It's keyboards are pretty prominent in, like, black metal.
I guess because he was playing it and sounded like a church organ most of the time.
Yeah, listen to some, like, straight-up Norwegian black metal. Mayhem might have a keyboard. I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of black metal. But the keyboard was not that weird. Get your shit together, Corey. Listen to black metal.
Let me ask you this. What about the fat kid and how he just automatically knew how to play drums? Was that even...
I don't know, dude. I'm fat and I can play the drums, too. I just woke up in the morning. I can play the drums.
Just like that? Dude, yep. it's a power?
I sat down and I could just play blast
like,
beats.
I want to be in a band and get lots of chicks... But I don't want to stand up because I'll get winded.
Playing the drums is not the way to get chicks. I'll tell you that right now.
With adipose comes rhythm.
Yeah, right. So the nerds and the two black metal guys start the band Deathgasm, and then they basically play a song that summons a demon, turns
everyone
into zombies.
One of the moments from that point, though, was when they were trying to figure out what to call the band. And they were coming up with all these different names, and one of them was 14 S's, and it was just S, 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 S. And I thought that was so terrific, and I really wanted that band to exist.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I hope they realize I'm making S sounds and not sprung a leak.
Didn't we all just do that at the same time?
Yes, we did. We're fucking cool.
That's a great show.
It's just nothing like watching a bunch of dudes in their bedrooms, right, Corey? So they you see a chick's tits 2 times. There's a lot of dicks
every
in
time
the middle.
They put on the headphones, they wind up going to some place where they're listening to music, they have the visions of standing there beating
it,
on the guitar.
It was very, very...
Like chicks down on their knees around you and worshiping you.
Yeah, it was very Manowar. For anyone,
but when Medina borrows the CD, and first of all, she's walking around with a CD player.
Yeah, I thought that was great, man. It took me right back to high school.
Yeah.
But she pops out, and as soon as she puts them on her ears, it just immediately she goes to that same vision, except it's her with all the chicks down around her. And I like how the fact that it was still women that were like her sex slaves around her.
Of course, it would be. It was very like Happy Gilmore meets Fight Club. Go to your happy place. Go to your cave.
Go to your it's very true.
Now all I can think of is the Alyssa Milano happy place.
That sounds like a nice place.
It was such a great, it's the best scene of that movie.
Oh man, she was hot in that. Oh.
Especially the Shooter McGavin one when it was like the black lace.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That was not Alyssa Milano in that movie.
Who was it?
Yeah,
was
he's
it?
Right. No.
And Happy Gilmore? Sure? It was Julie Bowen.
Yeah.
From Modern Family.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever her name is.
Which is fine with me. I like her.
Still,
yeah, they're both hot.
I think all the mistakes that Alyssa Milano has made in her life, being in a Adam Sandler movie, is not one of them.
No.
Well, it wouldn't have been a mistake back then.
No,
it'd be a mistake
now.
It's always a mistake.
You shut your cocksucker, Corey.
The greatest golf movie of all time. What are you talking about?
I made my grandfather watch that movie at like 13 years old.
The Price is Wrong, bitch.
He liked it, man.
Such a great movie.
He should. Every adult man.
Hips. So.
Now I'm going to have to watch Happy Gilmore. It's been a while.
Nothing wrong with that. I eat shit like you for breakfast.
You eat shit for breakfast?
Thank you. All right, I'll shut up now.
No.
All right, so the band gets together, and then they go and they find somebody that they worship named Ricky Daggers. Ricky Daggers is their metal dude that they kind of like cock worship in this. And they find that he lives in town in New Zealand with them. So they break into his place and he's all freaked out by them, kicks them out, but gives them this album that is secretly a Rick Astley album. So they Rickroll the people in this movie. But album cover is these old pages with music on them. And it's a demonic tune that basically summons the king of the demons. And
was the plot device not more or less lifted from Pick of Destiny when they go and meet Ben Stiller in the closet at Guitar Center?
Pretty much. Jeez. It's just a straight up a Tenacious D ripoff. But
awesome.
It doesn't matter because it's handled so well.
Oh, better. Handled better, I think.
Well, except it would have been really cool to have Dave Grohl play the demon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and
No Dio.
It wouldn't have mattered. He's not tall enough. The camera can't see him.
Fair enough.
He also has a serious case of being dead.
Well, Pocket Dio would be great, though, wouldn't it?
Fucking Pocket Dio.
Pocket Dio. He could play with my dick.
Oh, Jesus. Stop it, Pocket Dio.
Full of metal. So there's random things with this cult that happened, too. A guy from the cult shows up and kills Ricky Daggers right away. Then he goes back and talks to his boss, and his boss has him killed. And isn't happy that they didn't lay plastic down, so he makes the two guys who come out and chop the guy's head off reenact the death.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And I thought that was the funniest thing until all of a sudden we see this woman's head pop up from underneath the guy's desk and try to look around, and he just shoves her head back down. I'm like, holy shit, this movie just fucking blew my mind.
Went to the next level.
So unexpected.
It's not the only thing it blew.
And then she later on shows up with him to go get the group to try to get the demon town, everything. They're trying to get the music back to stop it from being stopped, essentially. And she kills the guy that she was giving oral to earlier because he's second-guessing whether or not they want to release the demons. And so it's just like every time they show you the villain, it's like, nope, this person killed that person. And just kind of passes it along. In a way, it was kind of like we watched a movie a little while ago. Crap, I can't think of the name of it now. It was the...
Sounds like a good movie.
Yeah, right.
Oh, have you ever seen Crap? I can't think of the name of it now.
Real shit show.
The name of it now, is that the sub... Like, is it Crap, colon, I can't think of the name of it now?
I think that's one of our podcasts, actually.
Yeah, it should be.
No, it was Feast.
Yeah, Feast is awesome, man. That
movie
is great.
Awesome. And like this movie, Feast won an award, and that's how it basically got made. And this movie as well. This movie won some $200,000 award for a horror movie production contest that was happening, and that's how it got built up and distributed and everything.
So how old was this movie? Was it
2015?
Yeah.
15?
15.
15. Wow. It was 2015.
And they've already got a sequel greenlit.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, it felt like they were teasing one at the end there, like when he was like, "No, I'm just fucking with you, dude."
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's called Deathgasm Part 2, Gormageddon.
Gormageddon, nice. So yep. Is it in talks or in production?
It looks like the script's already been completed. He's posted pictures of the script on his Twitter.
Nice.
The writer-director, Jason Lee Howden.
All right, nice. That'll be cool. I'm actually looking forward to it. So that'll be a lot of fun.
There's apparently more gore.
Monitoring the chat room on YouTube?
No, we're fucking lazy.
All right, cool.
Why am I supposed to?
Well, they're
filming a horror movie in Maine. I was going to put the link up, but now that I've done it, it won't fucking let me, so never mind.
Oh,
I will just do it on social media.
That works. No one ever talks to us, ever.
A lot of our regular watchers have taken over the chat room, so...
Yeah.
His cousin's in there, my wife's in there, our regular listener's in there.
Smashly.
Smashly.
I don't even know how I feel about this right now. I feel like I'm being violated from all angles.
So good. You feel good about it.
I mean, go big or go home.
So they're making a sequel to this, but Knights of Badassdom can't get a sequel?
Yeah. Knights of Badassdom, I mean, I don't know what needs to be said after that movie.
It could have been awesome, and it got fucked. Did you read the backstory of that movie and how many trials and tribulations it went through?
No.
It's not the movie that it was supposed to be at all. I mean, it's not
like
a terrible movie, but... Yeah, no, you can tell watching it.
Too
bad.
We should probably put that on the list to do, because I've seen it, but I don't know that Matt has.
Probably not
that that's the movie that we're here to talk about, but that's what it makes me think of, is that movie. Same kind of plot.
Yeah, so going back to the sequel, the guy who wrote it said that there's literally more gore in the first 10 minutes than the entire first Deathgasm movie.
Nice.
Yeah. I hope there's
more
dicks.
This movie did not hold back on that.
No, more dicks too.
I expected more, to be honest. Based off the trailer, I expected more.
More dick?
Yes.
More
gore. I guess more dick too.
Well,
I always expect more dick.
If you want to,
maybe this time around they'll bring in black guys and you'll get what
you want. Oh Jesus! So there was so there was one time. The scene where fucking towards the end of the movie, the dude who's has got his pants off, he's swinging dick around in the park, and I spent like a solid 10 seconds trying to figure out if it was a real or a fake dick, and then he took the weed whacker to it, and I'm like, oh, it's a fake dick. I'm like, no white guy's dick is that big.
Total stage dick.
I love the line. It's like, you're really good at whacking guys off.
Yeah. The movie had a lot of those. Another favorite part of mine at the end when he cuts his cousin's head off. And dude's like, dude, he wasn't a zombie. He goes, yeah, he did. He like walked in. He goes, I'm Satan. They just like stare at each other.
Did
you
not hear that?
Yeah, you not hear that? I was really happy with this movie.
The fact that they made the chemicals to do the burn in the lawn and they couldn't spell Satan right.
I wondered about that.
Hail Satan.
I wondered if it was on purpose or not, if it was going to get mentioned later. But
It would have been better if it just said Hail Stan.
That would have been great.
Who's Stan and why are we hailing him?
And just have like a little arrow to a small A underneath it.
Fucking forgot the A. There wasn't a ton of...
That part would be still on fire. Like, everything else is burnt out, and then, like,
just
the arrow would still be on fire. Like, they just edited
the last bit.
Oh,
no, an English teacher showed up in the morning. He's like, I can't fucking look at this. That's not right.
Yeah.
Give me those chemicals.
C minus and giant fucking burn mark.
Fuck cotton. Hail satin.
Oh, wow. That was a dad joke. I don't even think I can recover from that. There wasn't a ton of story to the movie. I mean, outside of the story, you know what I mean?
It was all story.
God,
and there were so many like little subplots.
I'm so tired. Leave me alone.
then I
don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Now, did we all watch this today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad to know that we're all procrastinators.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that shit all week. And I wanted to make fuck it. Easter it is.
I wanted to make it fresh.
I wanted to save it for the rebirth of Christ. I felt like that was that was a way to celebrate.
It's appropriate.
Zombie for zombie.
Put a couple holes in my hands and ate some fucking fudge-filled bunnies.
Dude, my fucking wife sent me a picture a couple days ago of it just said Easter cookies, and it was hands with, like, jelly in the middle of the hand.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
I was like, oof, maybe too soon. Maybe too soon.
How is that too soon?
Hey, man.
Too soon.
Fuck it, it's always too soon.
You know what AD means? What are you talking about?
Well, it doesn't mean after death. It
means after dick.
After dick. What was that
which is
one?
Not, which is not a time period. It's a what you're doing today. Oh, I'm going after dick.
That's 9 a.m.
The best one I saw on Facebook today was chocolate bunnies are hollow to represent God's promises.
Oh, wow.
Mine was seeing Count Chocula draining the bunnies, and that's why they're hollow.
Easter.
Yeah, right.
Religion. Tasty sacrilege.
See, now we're heading into Sincast territory. By all means, join us on Sincast.
Yeah. There's no schedule for that, so if you feel like that, if you just need to vent,
it's impromptu,
hit one of us
anytime.
Up on Twitter and be like, "Hey, you're recording an episode tonight." We'll be like, "All right,
yep. We're just gonna stop the show, and then I'm gonna jump over there and like, can you believe that fucking piece of shit, Matt?
I made you, Corey. Without me, you are nobody. I love
this. I'm still nobody.
But so am I. We're both nobodies, but at least we're nobodies together.
Mm-hmm. Hey, So the demons around the town were pretty good, but what did you guys think about the final demon, the final boss?
I thought it was super lame that it was basically a CG mask, if CG at all. I mean, they left the rest of him totally normal and just gave him a fucking horned head.
Yep. Right. Yeah, I had actually made the reference because, again, you know, we had made Brandon made the Power Rangers connections, and then, as I mentioned earlier in this show, during that fight scene, you really saw her experience with the Power Rangers. She fought like a Power Rangers fight scene.
Yeah.
And then when his face became that, I'm like, look, they brought in a Power Rangers villain.
Seriously, for the final demon, I mean, sometimes less is more. I mean...
Right. Well, they went with less, that's for sure. It wasn't quite more, though. But, yeah, I mean, low
it
budget,
felt like kind
right?
of when they turned Rey into Viggo at the end of Ghostbusters 2. It was just, oh, well, we need to do something here.
Yeah, right. That's a great parallel. That's totally true.
And
speaking of Ghostbusters 2, Nate.
Uh-oh.
What?
This fucking guy. We had a whole discussion one night about Ghostbusters. He was... look at him. He's mad. I'm bringing it up.
Uh-oh.
Because you're gonna change the story, and you're going to alter documents.
That's totally not true. Never mind that.
All right, hold on. Before you bring it up, without any type of context, do you guys like Ghostbusters 2?
I don't dislike it.
I have a love for it, but I know it's a shitty-ass movie.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
Why are you thanking him?
Because that's what I said. Ghostbusters 2 sucked.
You didn't say you had a love for it.
What's that?
You did not say anything about having a love
for
it.
No, but he agreed that it sucked.
Well, that's not the point.
There are things.
The point is that you're telling me that Ghostbusters 3 in the trailer looks so much better than Ghostbusters 2
I feel
ever
like
looked.
The new Ghostbusters 2 is going to be... Or Ghostbusters
fucking blasphemy.
Will be significantly better than Ghostbusters 2. I love the look of the new trailer.
The Sorrow of Moldavia. No, there's nothing better than that. Give me a shitty Ghostbusters 2 and not Ghostbusters
Don't
3.
Let's not derail their podcast.
I know they're pissed.
If there's not a Do-Ray Egon moment, then it's ahead of the game.
That was the best thing about Ghostbusters 2. Do-Ray Egon. Seriously?
Anyway, that's all. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean
to go off course.
Here, have your podcast back.
I didn't mean to be overbearing about it. I'm sorry.
Mommy and Daddy just fought.
I'm just going to put a dick in my mouth and shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how Mommy and Daddy fight.
Speaking of dicks, I just saw on the Wikipedia page that in 2016, Walmart refused to sell the movie and renamed it Heavy Metal Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Fuck really? You, Walmart. Put dicks
because
in
it's
your
called
butt.
Deathgasm?
Yeah.
Also, they put a picture of Billy Ray Cyrus on the cover.
No! Are you serious?
No, why would Damn they it. Do that? Come on!
Oh.
Hey, on that note, if you spell orange really slow, it sounds like gullible.
I almost did it.
I almost did it.
I was like, I see. Man, the fucking. Although the Heavy Metal Apocalypse cover does have Medina in her fucking Man of War suit. Or as I like to refer to it, spank bank material.
And is Medina like an actual name somewhere, or is it just from the Tone Loc song?
Yeah, Funky really Cold Medina.
Reference that in the movie somewhere.
Yeah, I thought it was like, oh, we've got a character named Tanqueray coming in the sequel.
Tanqueray, Jesus Christ. I didn't realize that this movie finally like came out on DVD on January 5th of 16. So it's still fairly new.
Yeah, it's extremely new.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, I see it right here. If you go to dreadcentral.com, and I only mention it because I'm using their site, so I want to be nice. The headline is War on Deathgasm.
Yeah, it's the one I'm looking at, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. Walmart launches a heavy metal apocalypse.
Yep.
But yeah, I will... I don't know. I do like that cover.
So do I.
Yeah, the cover's cool.
And no problem giving a shout-out to Dread Central. They're a great site.
But heavy metal apocalypse is just... That's a really... I don't want to
shitty
say the
name.
R-word, but yeah, shitty works.
Yeah. Not that I care, but yeah, it's a shitty name. But... It's a fucking shit move, Walmart.
But it's not going to pull anybody in. Like, Heavy Metal Apocalypse sounds like a B-rated movie.
Yes.
So Deathgasm, but it goes, well, like, fucking Deathgasm. Like, that just sounds awesome. Like, when you said, all right, we're watching Deathgasm, I'm like, all right, that just sounds cool.
It makes me think of Death Blow from Seinfeld.
Sounds like Friday Night.
Blow.
I mean, the fact that it was called Deathgasm, if there wasn't a scene with people beating the fuck out of zombies with giant dildos, I don't think it would have really made sense.
But, so you have to... These guys are supposed to be in high school, and if you think about it, they're high school dudes who are really into death metal, and what high school guy doesn't have a 24/7 boner? So if you're going to name your band, it'd be like, yeah, it's fucking Deathgasm. Like, that's actually sounds... Right. That's like a pretty... tits name to come up with when you're like 15 and trying to be in a death metal band.
Yeah, no, it actually is. I'm surprised that actually, now that you say that, I'm surprised there isn't already a band named Deathgasm.
I'd be very surprised if there isn't. Hey, there's a band called Anal Cunt, so why wouldn't there be one called Deathgasm?
And Dying Fetus and Pig Destroyer and Cattle Decapitation and
half of which were referenced in the movie.
Yeah.
That's very true. I just saw a Whitechapel poster in there too, which was pretty impressive.
Yep. I've seen them live. They're good on stage.
Yeah. They're playing Warped Tour this year, so I'll see them again. But
yeah, I saw them during, I believe it was one of the Mayhem Fests.
Yep. I actually, on April 20th, going to see Fear Factory for the 20th anniversary Demanufacture Tour.
Oh, nice.
I am super
excited to see them.
I saw them a bunch in high school. Demanufacture was the album in which I decided I was going to learn how to play double bass. So that's near and dear to my heart.
Nice.
Yeah. But we digress again. Corey, drive the boat.
Matt, did you stay for the after credits and get the last final scene where he's talking to Record?
Oh,
yeah,
I almost
texted you and just said, look, man, you got to watch through the credits this time. That Matt never does.
I never do. That pisses me off. Like, fucking of give me... That's true. That's very true. I trail off easily. Give me the movie up until the credits. The credits says the movie's over. Nothing should be after the credits.
Never actually says that.
See, I agree with you there. Like, so here, I have a quick opinion. So, okay, so here's how I look at it. I get it in the theaters. That's
quick,
fine. And
quick
I was,
opinion.
Quick opinion. No, shut up. You invited me here.
That's true.
It's not my fault you never listened to any of my other shows and found out how long-winded I was.
I was looking to wear a lot less clothes, so that was...
But anyway, so I get it in theaters. And actually, I give credit to the ticket gatherer at Cinemagic last night for Batman vs. Superman. As she was collecting tickets, she goes, oh, by the way, there's nothing after the credits. So yeah. I'm glad she did that. But... as far as it being on a home release, it's like way back in the day when albums used to have a hidden song, but instead of just having it be an unlisted track, it was after 8 fucking minutes of dead air on the last track.
Yep.
Like, that shit is so annoying. On the home release, edit it to happen before the credits.
Yep, I totally agree with you on that. The surprise is gone. Anybody that wanted to go see the movie went and saw it for that and stayed for that. So, yeah, home release, just put it after.
And for the record, that was fucking quick, so shut your mouth.
That actually was. That was, I've ever heard of
you. I have never heard you speak so quick. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all the people that bitch at me every day for talking too much.
Pulls out a list.
In my life. Yeah, see, here's the thank you list. I never said anything about that.
Thank you list is three times as long as the opinion.
Speeds.
Whoa.
it gets me places.
I was like, that's no one has anything to say about that.
I was.
Nobody can get a word in edgewise, lost. Man.
Nobody reached up
and picked a dick out of his mouth, and he just goes full bore.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ! I'm really glad that you guys love dicks as much as we do.
Oh yeah, it's working out well.
We should start a new podcast called the Dick Cast, where we're just talking about dicks.
Let's call it sword fighting.
Sword fighting.
I feel like the Dick Cast is already run by Adam Curry, but okay. So,
yeah.
Jesus.
I have to admit, I was not looking forward to this fucking movie at all. I just had no belief that there was any way that this was going to be good. I think as soon as I heard them start talking and I realized they were in New Zealand, that we were in for something special. But it really kind of blew my mind at how good it was.
Do you wish that their accents were a little bit thicker?
No, I wish the dicks were.
Oh, my God. I think they had pretty authentic Kiwi accents.
Yeah, I just...
Watching Flight of the Conchords, like the brand of humor...
Right.
Very in line with that. It's almost like New Zealand has its own Kiwi-ized version of British humor.
Right.
It's very unassuming and unassuming. That's a good enough word. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, and considering the fact that it gets compared a lot to Evil Dead, Raimi obviously did a lot of filming of stuff. I know that Xena and Hercules are always filmed in New Zealand. So it kind of makes sense that this would be... Peter Jackson also.
Yeah.
Dead Alive, his stuff.
Dead Alive.
So that's kind of what you should be in the frame of mind of if you're going to watch that. If I had known going in that's what this was, I probably would have looked forward to it a lot more. But
was it Lord of the Rings, New Zealand, too?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised to see that it was basically a Raimi homage.
Yeah. It was. We'll get to the ratings. Let's get to the ratings.
True. Yeah, we should probably do that. These guys have a spoiler cast to do on Batman and Superman.
Spoiler, nothing
together,
after the credits.
Together, there's the tips. Batman and Superman play swords.
Sword fight.
If you're not watching the video, you can't see me playing tip swords with my fingers.
If you've ever seen them in person, you know what it looks like.
Fucking 3 inches of fury. So we generally rank the movie on a good day. And if it's cold out, then we're pushing 2.5.
I was going to say, the fury is like, why did you lie and say there was a full 3?
So that's another Seinfeld reference. Shrinkage! Shrinkage!
I was in the pool!
Jesus Christ.
It's a dagger fight.
Oh, boy. Boy, switchblade. So we rank the movies on 3 categories. We do rewatchability, story, and the scariness. I guess I'll start at rewatchability. I'm going 5. Like, I might watch this movie tomorrow.
Is this 1 out of 5?
Yeah, you didn't.
0 to 5, sorry. 0 to 5.
Alright.
Do your homework and you should know these things already.
I don't do homework.
Your homework.
I worked for the post office.
After we started the show.
I didn't even know a doc existed. My boss doesn't tell me anything, so.
Yeah, and that's why I work for the post office, because I was never any good at doing homework.
Wow. I guess. Get my shit here on time next time. You don't even work at my post office, but I'm still pissed at you.
Hey. I'm a union employee. I work at whatever speed I deem safe.
Oh, God.
Fair. Totally fair.
See? There we go.
You're talking to a milkman and a postman, so you probably understand where all the dickage comes from.
It's basically like we just time traveled to the fucking 1980s
right?
or something.
I don't even know if
two jobs don't even really exist anymore.
Yeah.
I've got such a buzz on now. I don't even know if that was funny.
I
don't know, be a milkman and a postman. That's comedy all by itself, right?
It's like a sitcom. It's like The Odd Couple.
Well, you
it's
got
like
you
a
porn do...
movie, milking the postman.
Well, no, and the ironic thing about it is, so he's a milkman. I'm a postman. I'm union. You're not, right?
No, fuck.
Yeah. So see, he gets underpaid for working too much, and I get overpaid for working too little.
I'm salaried. All I do is lose money.
I feel your pain, man.
That is beautiful.
No, but I love my job. Plus the post office.
So rewatchability, 0 to 5, guys.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I would give it a 5.
A 5. By far a 5.
I'm thinking about rewatching it tonight when the wife comes home, actually.
I was about to say that. I might make my wife watch it tonight.
It's one of those movies that you just want to show off to people. Hey, you got to check this out.
The only thing that might not make me watch it tonight is, on top of grabbing this, Revenant was only $15 on iTunes, and I haven't seen it yet. So
you want to see DiCaprio fucking bear.
Yeah. Or I guess a bear fucked DiCaprio from what I hear about that scene.
Well, he pushed back, so, you know.
All right.
DiCaprio just goes running after it with a giant thing of anal beads.
Speaking of pushing back, do you know why when a farmer has sex with a goat, he does so on the edge of a cliff?
I'm scared.
it's so the goat will push back.
Oh, my God.
We're never coming on the show again. You just sealed the deal. On
never,
that.
Never say never. I'll just be drinking next time.
So next ranking
has been sealed. I'm done. Next bomb animal. Sorry.
Story 0 to 5. What do you guys think?
I would give it a 3.5. I think because it's not anything that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, it was generic, but in a good way. Something like that, you want it to be easy to follow. You don't want to be lost in all of the, you know, the over-the-top gore, the dick jokes, the stupid jokes. Like, you want to be able to not have to pay attention so you can enjoy all the satire.
It's fun for sure, but, so, I mean, you know, they're not definitely not treading any new ground.
No, but yeah, I would say, like, somewhere in that ballpark. Like, I mean, it was enjoyable, but as far as the story itself, as far as development, I would say, like, between 2.5 and 3.5.
Yeah, it's like one of Nate's goats. It doesn't feel like it's your first time here. I would say 3. I would say 3.
I think Matt's kicking all of us.
Oh, my God. I started it.
We might have to adopt Corey.
It's either that or he's harder than he's ever been before.
Yeah, I'm as hard as a diamond in an ice storm right now.
He's like, fuck, I have goats. I gotta find a cliff.
I can see the sheen of sweat. The
bed will work. Is that a far enough drop?
Fuck.
Oh my God.
Is it a miniature goat?
Oh,
I mean, it's mad. It's a billy goat.
Just because it's a...
Hey, I just want to take some credit in the fact that it's a goat. It's a satanic symbol. It's relevant to the movie, so fuck off.
I also feel like this is... You broke our bestiality, Jerry, so thank you.
That's true. We've never talked about banging an animal yet until now.
It's a goat.
Oh,
well, welcome to the club. So speaking of goats, you guys... Have you seen The Witch?
Yes.
Real quick? Oh, good God.
I saw it.
Should do that because I'd be totally anxious to talk to you about that.
Corey would have to see it.
I would have to see it, but I'm absolutely willing to see it. I know the wife wants to see it, so.
But yeah, we can
stare at a blank screen for an hour and a half.
Dude, I talked about this with Bill from Impaler last night. Like, it's a really slow moving movie, but it stays pretty true to like the time period. Like, yeah. It wouldn't have seemed realistic if it was, like, super fast-moving. But I just said, like, I was so anxious the whole time for something scary to happen, and nothing scary ever really happened.
No, it was a continuous series of letdowns. But, again, like, in this day and age, with people and their attention spans being what they are, the pacing has to be faster if you want success, I think.
Absolutely.
But I appreciated the way it was filmed in a different ratio. And as time has gone on, because I think we saw it opening night, I was really let down when we saw it, but again, it's still sticking with me
right.
Like a fucking month later after I bitched and moaned. Like, I'd almost say at this point, and I hate to, I'd almost say I like it because it's still fresh in my mind. It just will not fucking go away.
I see what you're saying, and it's funny because we saw that, and like when we left the theater, I looked at him. I'm like, you are never picking the movie again. Like, we are. I argued like a couple.
Nate,
like,
I
no,
just want to ask
not.
You this.
But then a week later, we saw 10 Cloverfield Lane, which was phenomenal, but I haven't talked about that movie as much as I've talked about The Witch.
Right.
I take it by that awkward facial expression. You did not like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Or he just came.
Yeah. I don't know how much research you did on 10 Cloverfield Lane after you saw it, but...
Quite a bit.
10 Cloverfield Lane was not supposed to be a Cloverfield movie. So no. The fact that you didn't know shit about there being aliens... If you didn't know Cloverfield was a movie, if you just went and saw 10 Cloverfield Lane, you don't know anything about there being a possibility of aliens until 3/4 of the way through the movie when you hear the ship fly over. That right. fucking pissed me off, and I understand that the movie was made and then they changed the ending based on adapting it to a Cloverfield movie. But I just feel like they rushed and put a shitty ending on it and then like tied the two together. On the other hand, I thought John Goodman did a really good job of playing the villain friend. You know, the fucking whole movie, you couldn't tell what he was what he was doing. Had they just kept it the original movie, I might have liked it more. Wasn't a bad movie, wasn't a good movie.
The ending and then trying to tie it into Cloverfield is what ruined it for you.
Pretty much.
I definitely agree that I think Goodman's performance carried the movie. It was amazing to watch him take us on that ride, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Let's get back to the rankings, I guess.
Matt, you didn't give it a story.
3.5. My favorite part about it was the fact that I didn't really have to sit and pay attention to it. Like, it could just be on, and I can still follow what was going on.
Yeah.
Can we all assume that it was not scary at all, so we could give scariness a zero?
Yeah, definitely a zero on that.
Yeah, but I didn't expect it to be scary.
And his cousin's friend, I was totally afraid they were going to, like, rape the main character.
Medina?
Brody. I was pretty sure they were going to, like,
protect Medina.
Ask Brody in a field somewhere. Or move up to the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. So yeah, that wraps it up for rankings. Corey,
great.
Drop that beat.
We can be found on gncast.com. You can leave us voicemail at 805-328-3966, or you can email us at pot@gncast.com. All right, you can leave a message on the website as well. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Podcast of Terror, and also subscribe to us via iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. Leave us feedback there. We'd appreciate it. And all the subscription options and links can be found under the subscribe tab at gncast.com. And you can also join us on our Facebook group under Galactic Netcast. Where can we find you guys? Obviously, you've got a show coming up next. Is that broadcasting live for people to watch?
It is. So if anybody is, whoever's listening live, that's not from our neck of the woods in the chat room. Everything we do live is at youtube.com/inkedgeekstudios/live. Or remove the live just to go there for our back catalog of videos. And you can catch all the shows that we do over at inkedgeekstudios.com, which has all of our shows listed. The one show that's not on YouTube because she doesn't do video is Abby Wessel's Diary of a Trans Woman. If you are at all interested or curious about LGBT lifestyles, struggles, and kind of a diary format of transitioning gender, it's a great show. She's very well-spoken. So check that one out, too.
I'm actually very interested in that. There's a story I'm working on right now that I think that would probably help give me some insights on.
Nice. Well, check out the show and email me, and I'll get you in contact with her, too, if you have any questions for her.
That would be fantastic.
Cool. And, yeah, again, inkedgeekstudios.com. As for myself, you can follow me on Twitter at xcynicx, which is S-Y-N-E-K, which is also my Twitter Twitch page where I live stream all my video games. Do you want to speak up where you are? Or do you want me to tell them?
Go ahead.
All right. You can find Brandon on Twitter at Crimson Flag with a K and two G's.
Are you getting tired of that, by the way? Do you want me to start pulling my own weight?
No, I just didn't want to speak over you and have.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no. You're the talker.
So nice.
All right.
So
and then
nice.
Also Instagram, same thing. XCynicX and Crimson Flag. And then Periscope is Inked Geek Studios. Whenever we do little live events like last night, we had IG Studios Goes to the Movies. Out at Cinemagic, and we had a bunch of people meet us out there. We're usually live on Periscope when we do little events like that, too. So that about covers it for us.
It's always embarrassing we have people in here who are way more together than we are.
Yeah, we're a shit show. It's okay.
Dude, sorry. You're totally on par with us. I don't know what you're talking about. That was a lot of fun for me. I really enjoyed being on here with you.
Yeah, this was a blast. I hope that you guys have come over to our neck
of the
woods.
I saw in the chat room that you guys are too lazy to go into that. The four of us and Foley from our show the other night, the guy from Survivor, should all do a show.
Yeah, he'd be a blast. Yeah, you guys, I bet if you go to, again, you go to the YouTube page and check out, it was Mind of a Geek episode 17 with Dan Foley.
Yeah.
About the first 20, 25 minutes are about Survivor, and then we get into
it goes
fucking
right off
everything.
The fucking rails.
We had a couple live call-ins. We talked about religion and right. It was a blast.
If you wanted to see a real metamorphosis in the last week, you would go to Sonics and Sabres episode 7.
Nope.
Directly to the aforementioned episode of Mind of a Geek, and then into Sincast episode 0. And you'll see a total paradigm shift in our shows.
It's impressive.
Like, yeah, it was great. But thanks again. This was a blast.
Definitely. You guys have all your different shows and stuff. If I listened, do you play through Stitcher?
I do have most of them on Stitcher. The last two new ones I've started, I didn't put them on Stitcher because we don't really get a lot of love on Stitcher, and their audio quality isn't that great. At least I don't feel like it is.
It seems to be the easiest podcast catcher for me to go through.
Well, I believe even if you're not listed on Stitcher, are you still allowed to manually enter an RSS URL, or does it have to be submitted through Stitcher?
I think it has to be submitted because I've gone through rounds trying to get stuff. On there that isn't my own.
I believe my only one that's not, well, at this point, I want to say actually the only one that might not be might be Sinca. I'd have to look, but I mean, I know one person who uses Stitcher as their primary platform, so I will make sure they're on Stitcher. All I know is I've heard other podcasters say, yeah, I stopped bothering with Stitcher because, one, they force ads on your shows. Oh. And you get no revenue for them. Yeah, like the ads you hear when you listen to Stitcher, those aren't – that's not revenue being given to the podcasters.
Oh, yeah, that I know.
Yeah, and they're forced on your show. And then also the audio quality is never as high. But the videos are all on YouTube. The videos are embedded as well as the audio on our webpage. And then if you do use a podcatcher and don't want to search for it, all of our show web pages have a link to the RSS feed. So you would just click the link and then copy paste the link into your podcatcher.
Awesome. So, and do you have like a mega feed or is it just individual for each show?
I've thought about doing it, but we do all of our stat tracking through Blueberry. So as it is, I have to like double upload every episode. So if I tried to do a mega feed, and also our shows, we talk about all of our shows enough and they vary a lot. So, I mean, again, you know, it's throwing out that web and that cross-contamination, and it definitely helps for downloads. But also, the drawback of a mega feed is, like, for example, I do Scott Johnson's Frog Pants mega feed, but I don't listen to, like, Wood Talks. I don't listen to DTNS that much. I don't, right. Like, so I just delete those, which is fine for something like that. But as the producer of the podcasts, that will inflate numbers. So, like, I want to know how well each show is doing. And if there's a mega feed, someone might just subscribe to the mega feed because they listen to three of our podcasts. But that will give every single one of our podcasts a download count for that listener. So if multiple people do that, it will inflate certain shows. So I won't know what shows are stronger than others.
Yeah, and we are on the mega feed for Galactic Netcast. And I always feel a little weird about it because you just heard this show.
Yeah, 3/4 of the time I forget to check that box, so there's that.
That's helpful.
And then there's the fact that I don't know how to set up a mega feed.
Well, ask Dave. He does everything. I just show up and click record.
We'll have our people call your people.
Yeah.
That's why I like being a guest, is because I can just show up and not even click record.
It's super nice right. Being a guest.
Yeah.
Not that I fucking do anything but be the quip guy. I mean,
fucking one-liner Brandon. Let me get you a better nickname.
Dude, that's all I have time for. Nate does all the fucking talking.
Hey, now.
Hey, I owe up before it, man.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Love you, too.
Oh,
well, we love you guys, and we're really glad that you came and joined us on the show this week. Matt, people can find you on Twitter at MattTheLifeGuard.
Yep, and Instagram. That's about it.
And what is your Instagram? The same thing?
MattTheLifeGuard, yeah.
MattTheLifeguard.
Are you a lifeguard?
No, I play drums in a metal band called Drown the Lifeguard.
Oh. So basically fuck the lifeguard, he's a dick.
Yeah, I have David Hasselhoff on my bass drum.
Nice. You're gonna have to update that to Dwayne Johnson next year when the new Baywatch movie comes out.
David Hasselhoff for life, son.
So when I search Matt the Lifeguard on Instagram, I get a scrawny
two T's, not three.
Two T's?
Not three, yeah. Alright,
cool. All right, cool.
Yeah, I forgot that some dickhead.
Yeah, some fucking dick.
How many T's?
Two.
Two T's.
Isn't Matt normally spelt with two T's? One T's a doormat.
Yeah, but no, three T's is some cocksucker.
Three T's is a cocksucker, is that what you said?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's either a doormat, a lifeguard, or a cocksucker?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's some fucking...
Yeah.
I also...
Alright, I'm being called on Skype by the people I'm supposed to be doing my next show with.
Oh yeah, we totally gotta let you guys go. So thanks again, check out everything these assholes do, and we will have you guys back soon.
And we'll be on calling
assholes.
On nitros.
What a dick.
Good times, man, thanks.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Bye, guys. See ya. Next week we have no hosts, because we couldn't find people stupid enough to hang out with us, I guess. That's a mean way to put it. We're going to be watching a movie called The Midnight Meat Train, which was recommended by Martin. Martin, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I don't know your last name. He recommended it via Twitter. He's one of the people that were nice enough to continue to listen to us after we had Matt Vincent on a few times. So thank you, Martin. And I can speak for Corey because he's not going to butt in, but we're both really excited and looking forward to watching this. So,
although, no, I'm going to have Midnight Meat Train to Georgia stuck in my head all week.
Just looking forward to a meat train.
Mm-hmm.
Not a penis, but a steak. So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay scary, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podcast of Terror. You can help Galactic Netcast pay for our web and audio hosting by supporting us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts and pledge as little as $1 a month.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.